Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. Today, Kenneth Copeland and Rick Renner describe the movements of God to reach the nation of Russia. The obedience of a few people brought the good news of the finished work of Jesus.
Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland. This is Monday's edition of the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Let me tell you something. There ain't no blue Mondays in the kingdom of God. You understand that? No, man. That's out there in Babylon. In the kingdom of God, it is bright Monday because Jesus Christ is alive. He is Lord, and He is on the throne. Father, we give You praise today. This is a good day, and we worship You, and we thank You. You said so many times, Lord Jesus, when You were on the earth, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Sir, we open our ears today. We open our hearts to hear words from heaven that move heaven on the earth. And we thank You for it. We give You praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Join me again today in welcoming Rick Renner to this broadcast.
Thank
Rick,
you, Brother
God bless you, sir.
Thank you.
Man, I'm telling you, I'm so glad to have you here. I don't get to see you all that much. You live in so far from the house and all.
Well, just a little ways.
Yeah, a little ways from here to Moscow. What is it, 7,000 miles or so?
A little less than 7,000.
Just under 7,000 miles.
Well, actually, from here, probably be about 7,000.
Yeah. Well, it ain't no step when you got the fastest civilian airplane on the planet.
Well, glory to God. Praise God for that.
And I'm still holding for you. I've had this in my heart now for a year. Over a year. To believe God for a way, the people, and the helicopter that you need to transverse that area where all of that terrible, horrible traffic that you're involved in. Well, for those of you that don't know what we're talking about, Brother Rick pastors in Moscow. He is an apostle of that nation. And just to get, 12 miles?
12 miles.
12 miles from his home to the church.
2 hours.
2 hours.
That's on a good day.
When the traffic's not bad.
That's a good day.
Now listen, let me tell you what caused this. It is the prosperity of the gospel that caused this. Because, hey, don't ever get the idea that politicians brought down the Soviet Union. That ain't what happened.
No, it's not.
No. All came day, Lord. I got instructions from the Lord for us to take a moment and talk about this. This is important because it has so much to do with what's happening today. When you go all the way back to the Tower of Babel, the first socialistic government, first time men tried to meet their own needs without God. Nimrod became king and Ham and Japheth did their ugly thing, did the same thing Adam did and goofed off the blessing of the Lord. Now, when God said, Babel, which means confusion, it put a word of God cap, and it's still there. No human being, no human system will ever succeed at meeting the needs of man without God. It can't. And when that tower got up, it hit that cap, and down it came. The city hit the cap, and down it came. And you look at all of the empires and all of the governments, because without God, they're all social governments.
It's a complete failure.
It's total failure. And always ends in poverty. Because it hits the cap, and down it comes. It hits the cap, and down it comes.
Brother Copeland.
The Soviet Union hit the cap, huh? That's what happened to it.
We lived in it. I mean, we lived in the Soviet Union where there were no medications in the pharmacies and the food, the grocery stores were empty and the hospitals were dilapidated. It just does not work. Man will never be able to meet man's needs.
No, he can't. And the devil knows that. And anyway, what I wanted to point out to us here today, now Rick just brought this out. It was one day one way and another day another.
Just like that.
Like that. And what happened when that system hit that cap, it fell. There, It was kind of a Keystone Cop kind of a thing in Berlin. There was a guy at the gate just kind of screwed up and just let everybody in. It was just ridiculous, really. Well, of course, God was leading men like Ronald Reagan and other men that adhered to God. These were praying men. And of course, they were moving and doing things because the cap had been hit. But it happens in the spirit world before it can ever happen in the natural.
Mm-hmm.
And so that thing just started rolling over.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw it in the spirit. It was like a television screen, literally, just right in front of me. In the KCM lunchroom, dining room. And I saw this thing, and sitting right over the Kremlin, looked like it was shiny and round, like an eight ball, and real shiny. But it had tentacles coming off. It was sitting right over the Kremlin, and these tentacles went out like this, and they had needles on the end of them. And they went into each department, and they were and this thing was pulsing like this.
Hmm.
And feeding. It was feeding on them, and they were feeding on it. And then the Lord showed me the tentacles went out into other nations. But that thing was sitting over Moscow, right over the Kremlin. And it came to the United States. And those needles were going into schools and universities all over the United States where progressive socialism was being taught, of course. It's doing this. And I'm sitting there looking at this thing. What I'm seeing was, look, I was looking down. I was standing talking to a friend, and this thing just came up before me, and it was like looking down on it on the table in front of us. All of a sudden, Rick, from out of frame, just came this hand. Wow! I mean, man, it hit that thing. It just so swift you couldn't even see it until after you saw it. For a second or two, I saw it, and I knew it was the hand of God.
Hmm.
It hit the cap. And he slapped that thing. And it began to quiver and quiver, and its needles begin to withdraw, and the tentacles and the fingers begin to crack and fall apart and come down. And I heard the voice of the Lord. He will never be back. Glory to God. Well, what I saw, and I didn't understand that cap back there then. God hadn't revealed that to me that far back. But I knew what was happening. And now, let's say this. Once that happened, then all of the stuff started going on that just rolled that thing up on its side, and it just died. Now, immediately, see, God had Rick there. Mm-hmm. God had us there. Mm-hmm. God had other people there, mm-hmm. ready to go. We were already preaching there. We were already in motion there. God had already set it up. It was almost like the Kremlin didn't even know we were there, man.
Well, they didn't.
We weren't hidden, but they just didn't know it.
They had so many problems they were dealing with at that time.
They didn't care nothing about you and me.
You know, Brother Copeland, there are people who are, you know, there's kind of a spirit of fear which is on people right now because of what's happening. But you know, when you hit that cap, and that thing comes down, it opens a world of opportunity.
Oh, that's what the Lord wanted me to point out here this morning, Rick. When that opened up and the gospel flowed in there, that's what caused the prosperity.
But think about it. If I hadn't obeyed the Lord and gone there before He slapped that thing, then when it came down, I wouldn't have been in position.
You wouldn't have been ready.
And the obedience of God to listen. Yeah. Even whenever times are tough, it's so important to position all of us in the right place.
And just, I'm yours to command, sir. Whatever you say and wherever you say. It's the gospel that caused that traffic jam.
That is exactly right.
Now, that's the point. It's the gospel that caused the traffic jam.
I'll give you an example. When we started our church, there were three automobiles of people who drove to our church. Today, we have a whole parking lot full of automobiles.
Three.
And when I pull up and I can't find a place to park my car, and I'm the pastor of the church, I just say, Jesus, thank you.
Oh, Lord.
Thank you for this wonderful problem, Jesus.
And see, the highways weren't ready for all of that. I mean, they weren't building anything. They didn't want anything. They didn't want people moving around. They had control of them. But when that thing lifted, there were people that said, what, we... I remember Bill Bozanski in the Ukraine. He was at a table with a doctor that's head of a medical center there. And they were having dinner. We had sent some oxygen equipment over there. You remember that?
I remember that.
And for that hospital there in Kyiv.
I remember.
And his wife, the doctor's wife, was serving the table, and she just stopped. She had a tray of food. Anyway, she's right there at the table. She said, isn't this something? A few days ago, we were enemies. But now, we love one another. And we didn't believe in God. Wonder why we didn't believe in God. I've always believed in God. See what happened? The veil came off.
Mm-hmm.
It just lifted, and they began to prosper, and God began to move, and people began to prosper, and they began to buy cars and all this kind of stuff. Amen. And I believe God's going to get you a helicopter.
And I believe with
you. And you're going to be able to transverse all that traffic, do the job you're supposed to do. And I believe I receive it, and you believe with us, and you believe we receive it, and God will do this thing. It looks impossible, but all things are possible with God, and we're with God.
That's right.
Amen.
That's
and
right.
We believe. Amen.
Thank you.
You better get us into the book, sir.
All right. Let's do it.
Amen. I know, Lord won't let me off of it. That's what's happening here in the United States. No. This nation, that the United States has not, this is not, let me put it in the words that God said to me, this is not the end of the United States of America. It is the end of the Babylonian socialistic system that's been attacking it, trying to take it over for the last 115 years. And it's headed out. And the people, for the first time, all over this nation, are seeing what progressive socialism is all about. That's the reason Europe is saying, why are you people trying to get in this? I mean, we've already figured out it don't work.
Mm-hmm.
But that thing has had its work going on in this, trying to destroy our Constitution for over 100 years, and it's done. It's over.
Well, when it starts coming to an end, it doesn't take too long for it to get wrapped up.
And it's rolling over on its back right now. And that's the reason people all over the country say, I don't understand. I don't see what's happening. What are we going to do? Our country's going. No, our country's not going down no more than Russia went down, no more than any other. That where God is moving, this nation belongs to Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And don't you ever forget it, because He never forgets it. Ha, ha, ha! Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Amen. Okay, let's go.
Brother Copeland, we've been looking at the last events in Jesus' life, His life before the cross. And I just did a real deep study on those final moments in Jesus' life. And I realized, with all the good preaching I'd heard all of my life, there was a lot of details about the events in Jesus' last hours that no one had ever exegeted to me from the New Testament, and no one had ever opened it to me. And this, which I call today, is, has anyone ever spit in your face? And I want us to open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 26.
All right.
And we may not be able to get very far into this today, but I want us to begin here. Matthew chapter 26. We've already seen in our programs last week what happened in the Garden of Gethsemane, that Jesus was arrested. He was taken to the household of Caiaphas. And the Bible tells us, beginning in verse 67, Then did they spit in his face, buffeted him, and others smote him with the palm of their hands, saying, prophesy unto us, thou Christ, who is he that smote thee? And I want to be able, if it's all right with you, just to read directly from what I've written, because I don't really think I can improve on what I've written. Is that all right with you?
Oh, absolutely, sir.
It says, notice it wasn't just a few who spit in his face that night. The Bible says they spit in his face. Now, this was an amazing thing to me when I discovered this. The word they refers to all the scribes and elders that were assembled in the meeting for that trial that night. There were 100 of them.
I think this is really important right here. Let me tell you something now, getting into this. Rick Renner is a bona fide Greek scholar. He speaks this language, he writes in this language, he thinks in this language, and God has given him the anointing to see into, not just through the English language, but through the Greek language. So listen up when he starts talking. He doesn't just look it up in the dictionary like I have to do. And a lot of times, I don't look it up in the dictionary. I go to his books and look it up. So I wanted to qualify this because this is very touchy information. This is stuff the tradition has preached it the same way for 200 years or better. But God is taking the veil off of this and allowing us to see into it. So open your ears and listen up.
This is really important because the Bible tells us that Jesus took our shame. And when you hear what they did to Jesus in Caiaphas' courtroom that night, it is just amazing. So there would have been 100 or more men in this crowd, and one by one, they were walking up to Jesus and spitting in his face. Now I write, in that culture and that time, spitting in someone's face was considered the strongest thing you could do to show utter discontent, disgust, and hatred. And when someone splattered his spit on another person's face, that spit was meant to humiliate and demean. And to make it worse, the offender would usually spit hard and close in the person's face. So it wasn't just a pfft. It was coming right up to the person's face and just hacking and just everything they could, just spitting right in the person's face.
Oh, dear Lord.
So by the time that Caiaphas and his scribes and elders had finished taking turns spitting on Jesus, Brother Copeland, this is amazing to me. Their spit was dripping down from his forehead into his eyes, dribbling down his nose, his cheekbones, his chin, oozing down onto his clothes. This was an extremely humiliating scene. And remember, the men who were acting so hatefully toward Jesus were religious leaders.
Mm-hmm.
Just hacking and spitting as hard as they could in the face of Jesus, at least 100 of them. Imagine what he must have looked like.
What does this do to forgive them? They don't know what they're doing. It starts back there, not while he's on the cross.
That's right.
It goes all the way back, doesn't it?
Oh.
That's a horrible thing, right?
It's horrible. And they didn't just stop with spitting. It goes on to say that after that, they doubled up their fists and they beat him. That's in verse 67. The word beat or buffeted is the Greek word which means to violently strike. Now, Brother Copeland, there were 100 of them. One by one, they had spit in his face. Now, one by one, as if it wasn't already insulting enough to spit on him, they began striking them with their fist. This wasn't just brutal, it was sadistic. These scribes and elders were so paranoid about Jesus getting more attention than themselves that they simply wanted to strike out at him. And every time they spit on him, they were spitting on the anointing. Every time they slapped him, they were slapping the anointing of God. It was an attack against who he was.
Oh, my.
It's just amazing. And when you read what Luke says they mocked him. Now, I'm going to cover this just as quick as I can, but the word mock means to play charades.
And what chapter is Luke in?
It's in Luke chapter 22, verse 63. And it means to play charades. So that night, It was like they had a comedy at Jesus' expense. They put on a show, and I write, they hammered it up almost certainly as they pretended to be Jesus and the people he was ministering to. They may have mocked him as they laid hands on each other and pretended they were healing the sick, or laid on the floor and quivered as if they were being delivered from devils, or wobbled around acting as if they had been blind and now they could suddenly see. Whatever these guards did to mock Jesus, it was a game of charades intended to make fun of Jesus. And then, as if that's not enough, Luke says they begin to smite him again. And this particular word for smite isn't just to double up the fist and hit, but it's to use the full palm of the hand and a slap. It is a stinging slap. So now Jesus has been spat on by 100 people. Jesus has been hit in the head with a doubled up fist of 100 different people. And now they've played these charades making fun of his healing and delivering ministry. And then they say, let's go for it again. And one by one, these religious leaders in all their religious clothing walk by him and just slap the living daylights out of him. All of that before he is ever scourged.
Oh, my. Oh, my. Brother Rick and I will be right back.
I was born in Ukraine. People kind of always suspicious, always wonder, are you my friend? Are you working for government? All my life, I remember always I have to kind of hide my belief in God. I can't freely speak. And I kind of grew up in a very strong Christian base, but with lots of fear, lots of religion. Baptist church, they don't know if you're safe or not. So I went to Pentecostal church, they say same thing, nobody know if you're safe or not. And so I actually ended up at the point I was so upset with God and all this, I do all my best and still don't know what's gonna happen with me. I was always terrified to be in a dark room. I have all these kind of different habits and anger issues and all these kind of things. And so what is the purpose to be a Christian if it's not too much different between people in the world or people in the church? One day, a friend of mine, he said, hey, did you ever read this book? This was a Ken Hagin book. And it was, of course, underground church kind of give you the book, just make sure don't tell anybody, you know, hiding from anybody. And when I read this book, I was like, wow, it's so simple. How in the world I never see that before? And so when I opened the last page, it's always end up with a salvation prayer. It's when I actually decide, okay, God, I try traditions. Let me try that. If it's not working, I don't want to be a Christian anymore. And sure enough, when I read this prayer, thank God, it's such a relief, such a peace. And, you know, I have no fear of darkness anymore, praise God. Before I get born again, I was so concerned about my family. I started thinking about the immigration. And of course, I tried everything I can, which is in my power, but nothing happened. But when I get born again, praise God, it's just, I've got such a peace that I don't care if I'm going to U.S. or I'm staying in Ukraine, God is with me, so everything starts working in a way that I never even can imagine or plan even, because, you know, when you have peace and God is behind you, you know everything's going to be for your best. And so that's exactly what's happening.
Jesus willingly endured savage beatings, unimaginable disrespect, and crushing humiliation for those he loved and those who hated him. Christ's amazing love for us inspired him to give everything he had to pay a debt he never created. Pastor and Bible teacher Rick Renner unpacks the last hours of the life of Jesus in the devotional Paid in Full. Rick's extensive research of the scriptures and translations of the Greek and Hebrew texts bring Jesus' last hours before his crucifixion to life, combining revealing personal stories with the biblical account of Jesus' death and resurrection. This devotional illustrates the fact that Christ's suffering paid the price, and his resurrection gives you the victory to live an abundant and victorious life. Jesus handled the hard part to leave an example for us to follow. Paid in Full is a devotional that provides the evidence that you are free and your debt has been paid in full.
Gain insight into the love Jesus has for you. Order Rick Renner's new book, Paid in Full, for only $14.99. Go to kcm.org/TV special, call our toll-free number 1-800-600-7395, or write to us today. The cross was God's plan to redeem man from Satan's authority. Jesus paid the full price for your redemption. What happened from the cross to the throne changed everything. For an additional 10% off, order your copy online.
Anytime you can get in your hands something that Brother Rick has written, then you need to do so. Because this information, you're hearing things you never heard before. I'm hearing things that I have never heard before. I've been in this ministry for, January is 4 to 7 years. Mm. And I'm hearing things here that go beyond my study. And I'm, this is treasure. Paid in full. Detail after detail after detail about what happened to him. And so this is a 30-day devotional and should be read every day, a chapter a day, right all the way up to and through Resurrection Sunday. Praise God. Amen. You need to read it out loud. You need to get your Bible down and read it out loud and study it and glean from it. Yeah, you'll gleam. Your whole spirit and your eye will have a gleam about it. Amen. Father, we receive this. Mm. And I pray for my partners, and I pray for people all over this radio and television audience around the world, in the name of Jesus, to know, to open the eyes of our understanding according to Ephesians chapter 1, that what was wrought for us in Christ Jesus when you raised him from the dead. Now, all of this leading up to it, it's all part of it. It's all that same action. Amen. Oh, I'll tell you what, you don't want to miss any broadcast this week. And so we'll see you tomorrow. Until then, this is Rick and Kenneth reminding you again that Jesus is Lord.
Continue to grow in God's Word and build your faith. This week's Believer's Voice of Victory is available on DVD or CD at kcm.org. Receive God's great grace abounding toward you and live in the blessing.